I just want to warn or caution the audience that the format of my paper is coming from the mind of a clinician, and also doing clinical researches, experimental researches for that matter, and few environmental research, notably because Bacolod City has the highest cancer rate in the whole of Asia, even twice. And recently, we have a paper on the extent of indigenous medicinal sources. We have this in Lambunao, Iloilo. Okay, so this is it. Okay, so before I start, let me read to you first the abstract which I sent to the organizers. As a clinician, we are not dealing more of on documents for that matter, but real live creatures, and that includes human beings. Okay, so let me read first to you my abstract. I was in the Pitan 3 years ago with a group of PhD in social science classmates. Touring the Rizal Park brought a whole gamut of memories, some personal. The power of Jungian collective unconscious engulfed me, remembering my late father, Carlos G. Zison, the epitome of Rizalian nationalism. My medical diploma and specialization in anesthesia did not deter me from going up the ladder of the academe, earning postdoctoral degrees in education and social science. Looking beyond the boundaries of absolute reductionism in medicine, I began to see the essentiality of the humanities in the causation of disease process and the approach to treatment. It became paradoxical, isolating the sick man from oneself, the environment, social issues, philosophical reasoning, and culture. The reality of Rizal's perspectives in healthcare was significantly immortalized in the setting of Rizal Park. He built his clinic at the center of a lush foliage and a water system. The verdant mountain overlooking the open sea, the sky meeting the ground viewed from afar. But sadly, we, the 21st century physicians, fragmentalize it to the maximum, forgetting to put each part together again. Rizal, with his clinical eye, saw society's ill, its damning contribution to the depravity of his fictitious Sisa and her sons Basilio and Crispin. He did not remain apathetic. He denounced it as a true physician and human being, thus the birth of Noli Tanghere and El Filibusterismo. My late father once said, and I quote, "Never underestimate the power of the pen," end of quote. Okay, so now I shall begin with my paper. The title, Rizal the Physician. Okay. Now, looking for a passage to fit my story about Rizal the Physician, I stumbled upon this quote from an Englishman known for his original doctrine in epistemology and metaphysics. He was known for his argument on the importance of sense experience in the acquisition of knowledge, and he is John Locke. Okay. Now, this I quote from him: "The experience of our senses is the chief source of our ideas and knowledge itself. Words seen or heard recall to our thought those ideas only which to us they have been wont to be signs of, but cannot introduce any perfectly new and formerly unknown ideas. From past experiences through our senses, we beget new knowledge relevant to our times." Parallel to this is the doctrine of associationism by Thorndike, where similarity in circumstance provides the fabric that would link between the past as embodied by Rizal, an eye specialist, and the present, signifying myself an anesthesiologist. So I will be one of the participants in this paper. Now, Objectives, please. Objectives of the study, first, is to acquire knowledge about Rizal's journey from a surgeon ophthalmologist to a community healthcare provider. Two, to appreciate Rizal's significant contribution to community healthcare in Dapitan. Three, to describe some present-day personal experiences that would give concreteness to the concept of Rizal, the physician. And fourth, to derive meanings in the convergence between traditional and modern culture in healthcare, its impact on the social consciousness among the 21st century physicians. Methodology. Okay. To put essence in methodology, let me quote Craig in 1978, and I quote, it affirms the possibility that one can live deeply and possibly in the moment be fully immersed in mysteries and miracles and still be engaged in meaningful research experience. Now, the theoretical foundation of my paper is on heuristic inquiry by Douglas and Mostakas in 1955. It argues that it is unique because it puts into the fore the personal experiences, reflections, and insights of the researcher, a shared reflection of experiences with a contributor or co-researchers legitimizes the investigation. It emphasizes not the actual description, but retains the essence of experience. Furthermore, heuristic inquiry includes with, and I quote, creative synthesis by Douglas again and Mostakas, that includes the researcher's intuition and tacit understanding. Next, please. Okay, multiple data sources. Data about Rizal, the physician, was taken from textbooks written by Saide in 2003 and Zulueta in 2004 and Fernandez in 1980. Now, the setting of the Rizal Shrine allowed me to look back to that interesting era, intuit upon Rizal's mind, and the social issues surrounding him during that part of our nation's history, and look at myself with introspection with my Jungian, and this by Campbell, collective unconscious and my own personal unconscious, merging together and creating a synthesis in the process. A lady conservationist stationed in the forested areas of Lambunao, Iloilo, where a satellite campus of the West Visayas State University is located, provided the traditional healing approach. She interviewed two traditional healers, the herbolarios, seeking to find convergence or continuity to their practice. I tried to look into the essence of those practices utilizing herbs for treatment as in Rizal's time and in modern times. In fact, we wrote a paper on this, the two of us. The title is The Convergence and then tradition between traditional healing and conventional healing. And we found out something like 6 convergent points. Okay. Using these indigenous medicinal resources, embellished with their sense of religiosity and spirituality on the level of the metaphysical, an unknown phenomenon in conventional medicine, I came to realize that alternative medicine was not isolated in their practices in utilizing herbs, insects, and organs from pigs in their treatment modalities. As Rizal did in Dapitan for the lack of generic medicines at that time, I tried to find some parallelisms in this. Informants in this study on traditional healers were Healer A and Healer B. At my own end, data of which I got from my dissertation for 2 alternative physicians, members and fellows of the Philippine Integrative Medicine. One was a trained general surgeon and the other a geriatric specialist, Doc A and Doc B, respectively. For documentations, photos of Rizal's house, the Talisay tree, and the clinic taken during our fieldwork were included. Now, here's the pictures. There's Balintawak of the Bonifacio era in Rizal's house in Dapitan. the old Talisay Tree and the water system at Farbak. I'm sorry, that image there in front, that was not intended for research. That was intended for a souvenir or photo. Okay. Next, please. Replica of Rizal's Clinic, and these are my classmates. They're all from Iloilo, and they speak Karaya. Okay. So, okay, enough for that. Okay, data analysis. The following were themes I have derived from doing content analysis. First, we have Rizal in the Pitan, circa 1892. A Spanish pediatrician by the name of Fernandez described the Pitan that time as a small town north of the island of Mindanao. It had 6,000 inhabitants during Rizal's day. It had no water system or electric light. The Pitan that time was thickly forested and marshes abound, providing a good breeding ground for malaria, mosquitoes, and other diseases. It had no potable water for consumption. Okay, according to Saidi and Sulueta, Rizal built his house in that forested mountainous area facing the sea. The house was made of nipa, wood for posts and rafters. A day in the life of Rizal as physician, this is according to Fernandez. Rizal rose at 5 and took breakfast at 7:30, after which he visited his indigent patients. Then he get dressed and went to town for his patients there until 12, and he returned for lunch. He began his classes and taught until 4 p.m. Now, next please. Rizal as a community healthcare physician. Besides his house, he built a school building for his school boys and a hospital for his patients. On the same area where his clinic at the center of that lush vegetation and a water system nearby, which an American engineer by the name of H.F. Cameron, according to Saidi, described it as, and I quote, "These supplies comes from a little mountain stream across the river from the Pitan. The aqueduct which had for its bottom the flattened tiles from the house roofs and was covered with concrete made from lime burned from the sea," end of quote. The modern engineers were amazed at how Rizal could have built that water system hewn from a mountain rock without tools to break the boulders. Rizal, as a medical doctor, conscious of environmental sanitation, spent many months during the draining the marshes in order to get rid of malaria, that is according to Saide. Furthermore, the same author wrote that community beautification was also primary in the mind of Rizal. He remodeled the town plaza fronting the church where he built a map of Mindanao out of earth, stone, and grass, and jokingly told his friend Father Francisco Sanchez that the plaza could, quote, rival the best in Europe, end of quote. Next, please. Rizal's use of indigenous medicinal plants. I am not promoting this, basically. I am just presenting this to you. Dr. Bantog, in 1957, a physician and Rizalist, claimed that Rizal became interested in local medicine and in the use of medicinal plants. He studied the local medicinal plants available in the Pitan and prescribed them to his impoverished patients who could neither afford to buy medicines nor afford to pay him, nor was there available generic medicine at the time. There was yet no pharmaceutical studies on herbal medicines during his time. Yet Rizal, in his wisdom through experience and readings, utilized those plants for his patients. This way, he went beyond conventional determinism and reductionism in disease causation and treatment. These are the two words which I love to, you know, always talk about. Now, this is my story, circa 2011. Okay. Arriving by boat from Dumaguete, and that is in Negros Oriental, with 12 of my classmates in the graduate school, we took a tricycle, a local means of transportation with a sidecar attached to a motorcycle, which brought us to the main town of the Pitan. Upon entering the gated entrance to the vicinity, a feeling of awe and nostalgia engulfed me, realizing that I was retracing the path of history. Remembering again my late father who nurtured me on the values of Brazilian nationalism tempered with spirituality. Being in that hallowed ground was beyond description. As all told, the scenery was like in the movie Somewhere in Time. Although those paths described in the books were still there, the house and the clinic, though all were reconstructions, The trees growing in the forest, the water system were still clear. Water was flowing into the stream and onto the river and finally to the sea. The old Talisay tree was still majestically standing where it first was planted in 1892. The one which attracted me most was the clinic where Rizal received his poor patients, to whom he gave local indigenous herbs for medicine and perhaps had a very pleasant interaction with his patients, for this is want of every physician with the spirit of humanness in him or her. And this is very, very significant to me. Looking at myself introspectively, I could associate myself well with Rizal as a surgeon ophthalmologist going into community medicine, and myself an anesthesiologist going into family and community medicine, not as practitioner though, but as researcher and educator of future physicians. My anesthesia practice served me well for the necessities and niceties of life, but my gradual gravitation to social science opened my eyes to the realities of community life. I began to see the great contribution of social, environmental, and economic woes of community life to disease process. The firm grip of medical determinism and reductionism slowly was slipping away from me as I started to view medical practice holistically. Metaphysics in medicine. I am presenting this phenomenon in the perspective of metaphysics, according to Applebaum and Thompson, as one which eludes us physicians who are trained in conventional medicine. We are strictly positivist, empiricist, and objectivist, so we thought. Metaphysics is all about reality. To a conventional mind, it is all of cause and effect. A disease process is perceived to be caused by a defect in the organ system, tissues, and cells. The unobservable and the unexplainable have no place. Miracles and mysteries have no meanings because these are immeasurable. But even Einstein, in his letter to his friend Schrödinger, said, and I quote, "The real problem is that physics is a kind of metaphysics. Physics describes reality, but we do not know what reality is. We only know it through physical description," end of quote. This phenomenon came to my consciousness during my data gathering for a dissertation. I thought of something which was not familiar, something different. Alternative medicine at that time was causing furor among my colleagues. Some were saying, we're back to the era of herbolarios. Some were saying, it's voodoo. Ever curious of everything, I decided to embark on this field of study. I invited two alternative physicians to join me in my study, and enthusiastically they cooperated. Here are the verbal data from informants interviews. Dr. A, or Doc A, as we said, is a general surgeon, and this is what he said. "We use extracts from herbs, plants, animal organs, insects, chemicals, and minerals." There are various other verbalization, but this cannot be contained in here. So Doc B, he said, "I use hydrogen peroxide." Everyone of us here knows what hydrogen peroxide is. "This is a bio-oxidative therapy. This is not the hydrogen peroxide that we use externally. This is plant grade." Okay. Now, and then he said, "Ozone. Ozone is what makes the sky blue. That is one being destroyed. So we have all sorts of diseases like allergies, asthma, skin diseases, and even cancer." Now, still another modality was termed biopuncture, an alternative medicine where an alternative medicine is mixed with plant-grade anesthetic procaine for pain relief. Dwelling on the metaphysical, spirituality was also emphasized, like both clinics had small altars with the images of the Virgin Mary and Santo Niño and the heart of Jesus. Now, Doc A said, again, "I deal with the spiritual. Faith deals, we need the Lord because He is the healer. I deal with emotion and forgiveness." Okay, and in that clinic, there were soft music and the color of the walls were not in white. The colors were in grayish blue, which means life. Okay, now we go now to the healers, the herbolarios. Next was trying to take a step backwards in our traditional culture of healing using herbs and other medicinal sources. My forest conservationist contributor very efficiently interviewed to herbolarios from Blumbunaw. I said we had that already. A variant of the original Hiligaynon dialect, Karaya, was the medium of communication, but significant points were translated into English. And the healer A is a male, 66 years old, and known for treating cyst and cyst-like growth, although he had a wide range of healing other ailments. Well, the actual ritual was rather very long, so I just omitted it, okay? Now, and healer B, these are the local herbs which the healer A use, no? Some of these are familiar to you. Now, treatment for incessant migraine headache were orsinda or syak, because by the spirit, caused by the spirit, were ginger, kabalung, kosol, and so on and so forth. Now, this is what he said. I saw a deep well. You see, the well is very attractive to the spirits, and you were there during their visit, and you were accidentally hurt in a manner called sinda or shak. So you suffer from migraine headaches. Okay. The tuos as marker in the form of tigbao is used to detect whether the sinda was relieved. For maintenance, the following were used: banana leaves, pouches of 17 kinds of leaves, native pineapple fruit and carapace of crabs, maliwanag, limestone for kidney ailment, and aloe vera for hemoptysis or lung ailment. Okay. And healer B is a specialist in massage. Okay. And according to him, palpate your blood vessels or your veins, and she knows where your illness is located, and also after massaging that can be relieved by means of flatos and burping. Okay. On this thought, a frontliner in alternative medicine, Dr. Yu Lim said, Filipinos have always used oriental medicines and method. Our ancestors treated disease and illness with native medicinal plants like guava. Not many people know that erythromycin as elotycin was discovered in Iloilo. And that is from the soil from Balantang Cemetery. That is an old American cemetery. I don't know what's in there. Okay. Now, utilizing heuristic inquiry as a qualitative research approach, the following findings were derived. Findings na tayo. Okay, Rizal was ahead of his time in community health care, assuming the role of the modern community health provider, such as community leader, health provider, manager, community mobilizer, and counselor. Two, traditional healing is still relevant today in the perspective of alternative medicine. Three, artifacts like the Rizal Shrine evokes memories that could inspire modern physicians to look at medical practice as a gift, thus recapturing the essence of humanness in medical practice. Four, the culture of traditional healing in our country is alive. And five, the legacy of Rizal, the physician, still lives in the heart of us, the modern physicians. And in conclusion, Rizal's journey from the University of Santo Tomas as a medical student to Hong Kong, where he practiced ophthalmology, that is not specializing, but practice ophthalmology, was a long way, full of conflicts, sprinkled with little romances here and there. It speaks of Rizal as truly human and not just one for the books. It was perhaps destiny that as a human being, he was endowed with the ability to choose, and chose he did. Rizal was steeped in the discipline of Western medicine, yet the element of the metaphysical was there because he was a religious person brought up by a religious mother whose religiosity and spirituality were beyond question. Rizal's commitment to his family is best in social consciousness begotten from his earliest experiences in UST, blossomed into a real revolutionario, that is, even transcending his reductionist perspective as a surgeon to a holistic community physician. That turnaround was momentous. This journey of Rizal from his pedestal, a sterile operating room to the Pitan, with only 6,000 inhabitants then, was a journey triggered by a ballooning socio-political consciousness. On the same vein, I am in a position of privilege, an anesthesiologist, hold in an air-conditioned operating room every day of my professional life. However, the seeds of social conscience that first gotten from a father who was, as I said, a Rizalian nationalist, flourished when I got into the discipline of psychology and social science in graduate school, and finally going into family and community medicine as educator and researcher. I taught my students the rudiments of community work, their role in the community, and most of all, going back to the basics of human, the basics of being human in medical practice. I was enlightened and eventually immersed myself in such a setting. As what Rizal wrote to his family, his desire to remain in the Pitan forever in his poem, Mi Retiro, maybe was reflective of his desire to serve his country as a physician endowed with a social conscience. Modern physicians must soar high ahead like eagles, but with our own 2 feet on the ground, and know how to look back and remember where we started. First and foremost, is to use our gifts of healing to alleviate society's ills, like Rizal, the physician. Thank you.